This morning, as you saw in the bulletin, and I know I don't have much time, it's about 22, and I promise I'll quit whether I'm done or not by 5 after and start the invitation. But I want to preach a sermon that I've entitled, The One Thing That Determines Salvation. The One Thing That Determines Salvation. What is that one thing? The Bible doesn't leave us in the dark. The Bible makes it very clear. We read a couple of verses, John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. In Acts chapter 16 is the story of the Philippian jailer, and I don't have time to tell you the story, but he came to Paul and Silas, and he says, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they answered him, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." In John chapter 3, verse 18, a verse that Adam read a moment ago, Jesus divides people into two groups. He says there's the group that believeth and is not condemned. A group that believeth on the name of the Son of God. A group that believeth on Jesus. And the sentence of sin, where death is a sentence of sin, they're not condemned. The sentence has been lifted. But there's another group, he says, that have not believed, that are condemned already. In fact, I went through my concordance. I haven't been able to do a lot. I've just been able to sit around. I've read more in the past 3 weeks, I think, than I have. And I read a lot, but I've read more in the last 3 weeks than I think I have in a long time. And I took my concordance out, and according to my count, there's about 153 verses in the Bible that tell us to be saved, to get out from under the sentence of sin, to get right with God, to go to heaven, however you want to say it. There's 153 verses that say believing on Jesus is what makes the difference. In Mark chapter 16, verse 16, he that believeth shall not be damned. And another way of saying that you believe on Jesus is that you say, I have faith in him. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 26, the Bible says, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. In Romans chapter 5, verse 1, the Bible says, therefore being justified, made just as if I'd never sinned, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I've heard people say, and you have too, they talk about saving faith. Saving faith. That phrase is not in the Bible. Faith is not the Savior. The object of that faith is the Savior. You can have faith in a lot of different things, and your faith can be strong. But if the faith is not in Jesus Christ, your faith will take you straight to hell. It's faith in Jesus that makes the difference in salvation. And since faith is that determining factor, it's important that we know what it is. As far as I know, there's only one definition of faith in the Bible. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But there is a lot of illustrations about what faith is and what it isn't. And I think one of the best ones is in Hebrews, the next chapter over, not in chapter 11, but in chapter 12, where it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. I want to say three quick things this morning about faith. Number one, faith is not looking at Jesus, it's looking unto Jesus. You know, most people believe that Jesus existed. They believe in history. And they will accept that he was a good teacher and a prophet and a man that lived at one time. And that's looking at Jesus. I mean, the Bible even tells us in James chapter 2, verse 19, the devils also believe and tremble. The devils, they'll admit that Jesus existed, that he was a man, that he walked on the face of this earth. In Acts chapter 19, verse 19, there was a evil spirit in a man, and these guys came in to cast that evil spirit out. And that evil spirit said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? I don't know you. And the rest of that story, as Paul Harvey says, is the man with the evil spirit leaped on those guys and beat them up and sent them out of the house. But that evil spirit knew Jesus. And most people will admit that Jesus existed. But that's not the faith that saves. The faith that saves is not looking at Him and saying, yes, He existed as a person, but looking unto Him and depending on Him to take care of our sin. It's like when a young person borrows money for the first time. And they go to their dad and they said, Dad, you know, my credit rating's not very good. I need you to co-sign the loan for me. And so dad co-signs the loan and Junior gets into trouble. And I don't want you to think, because you guys have been calling him Junior, that I'm talking about him. But Junior gets into trouble and he can't make the payment. And he calls up Dad and he says, Dad, I'm in trouble. I can't make the payment. They're going to foreclose the loan. And Dad says, don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. I'll make the payment. And that's exactly what Jesus did for us. When we could not pay for our sin Himself, He said, don't worry about it. I took care of it. When I went to Calvary's cross, I took all, God the Father laid all your sins upon me, and I paid the price completely, fully, everything that was owed. I paid the price for your sin. In Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6, the Bible says this, the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. You hear that? All. There is not a person that has ever lived and walked the face of this earth whose sin Jesus did not bear to Calvary. Every single person that's ever lived, every single person in this room, when He went to Calvary, He bore our sins. And when He said from that cross, it is finished, what He was saying is, the price has been paid. Payment is complete. Nothing else is owed. You just look unto me and be ye saved, because the price has been paid. So faith is not looking at the Savior and admitting or acknowledging that He existed as a historical person, but looking unto Him and depending on Him for the price of our sin. Number two, faith is looking away from everything else and looking unto Jesus. When Martin Luther translated Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 into German, and I probably won't say the words right, so if any of you know German, forgive me for my pronunciation. He translated Achschu zu Jesus. And what that means in German is, I look up to Jesus and I take my eyes off everything else. I take my eyes off the things that I can do. I take my eyes off the things that I might be able to work, and I put my eyes on Jesus and nothing else to have the faith that saves. Let me ask you this morning, how long do you think we'd have to work to pay for heaven? I mean, you go over there and you read in Revelation chapter 21 and 22, and just one thing I'll pick out this morning. The street of gold. The Bible says in heaven the street's going to be paved with gold. And gold that's been refined so much that it looks like transparent glass. We haven't figured out how to refine gold that way. So how long do you think we would have to work to pay for heaven? I submit to you that if you work 10 million lifetimes, and you spend every one of those lifetimes working for God and working for Jesus, that you could not pay for heaven. That's why it says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself, not of works, lest any man should boast. But it's a gift from God. I mentioned Wednesday night about a young boy that asked the preacher, Preacher, what do I need to do to pay for my sins? What do I need to do to get saved? And the preacher said, you're too late. Too late. And the young boy says, What do you mean, too late? I'm too late to get saved? And the preacher said, no, you're too late to do anything to pay for your sins. Jesus has already paid the price. Nothing else needs to be added to it. Looking unto Jesus means looking away from our righteousness. We ought to live right. We ought to do right. But the Bible says in Titus chapter 3 and verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. In Isaiah chapter 64 verse 6, the Bible says, all of our righteousnesses, plural, in God's sight are as filthy rags. That verse is not saying all the bad things that we do are as filthy rags, but all the good things that we do in God's sight are as filthy rags. Looking unto Jesus means I look unto Him and I take my eyes off my own righteousness. Sam Jones, the Methodist preacher, asked the congregation one time, anybody here know a perfect person? And one little lady in the back of the church raised her hand, and the preacher, Brother Jones, looked at her and says, you mean to tell me that you have met a perfect person? And this little lady said, well, I've never met her, but my husband talks about her all the time. It was his first wife. There ain't nobody perfect. Nobody is perfect. That's why Jesus said when He was here, He said, I haven't come to call the healthy to repentance. Those that are healthy don't need a doctor. It's those that are sick that need a doctor. And those are the ones that I've come for. I've come for those that are sick in sin. And by the way, that includes every single one of us. There ain't nobody perfect. You don't get better to get saved. You get saved to get better. And you don't get any better until you get saved. Get it in the right order. Don't think that you can work your way to heaven. Ain't gonna happen. Not by works, lest any man should boast. Looking unto Jesus means not only looking away from our righteousness, but it means looking away from our church membership. I think everybody ought to join a New Testament church. I think you ought to, once you get saved, you ought to join a church. But joining a church will not make you a Christian any more than going into a garage makes you a car. In Acts chapter 2, verse 41, the Bible says, and as many as received Him were baptized, and there were 3,000 added to them in one day. Notice the order. They got saved. They received Jesus Christ as their Savior. They got baptized, and then they joined the church. You don't do it backwards. It doesn't work. Joining the church, getting baptized to get saved. That's the wrong order. You get saved and then you get baptized and then you join the church. And there's going to be a lot of people that have their names on church rolls that when they get to heaven, Jesus is going to say the same thing to them that He said to a group of people that approached Him in the New Testament when He said, many of you will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not in thy name cast out devils and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. What is important is not getting your name on the church roll. What is important is getting your name in the Lamb's book of life. And the only way you can do that is to come to the Lamb. Look to the Lamb. Look unto me and be ye saved, Jesus says. Looking unto Jesus means not only looking away from our righteousness unto Him, not only looking away from church membership unto Him, but looking away from baptism. I'm for everybody that's saved getting baptized. If you've been saved and you're here this morning and you've never get baptized, you ought to get baptized. But getting baptized does not get you saved. It's a picture of what happened. It's like when you put on your wedding ring. That doesn't get you married. It's just a picture of what happened. I mean, most people, when they put on the ring, the way the ceremony works, you've already been married for a few minutes. And you're just as married, as much married, and will be as much married, whether you exchange your ring or not. It's just a picture. And I know some of you say, wait a minute. What about that verse in the Bible? Mark chapter 16 that says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." And I would point out to you the rest of that verse. "And he that believeth not shall be damned." That's like saying this: if you get on a plane and set down, you can go to Jacksonville, Florida, if you get on the right plane. If you get on a plane and set down, you can go to Jacksonville, Florida. But if you don't get on the plane, you ain't going to Jacksonville, Florida. It's not setting down that makes the difference. It's getting on the plane. I mean, and any fool knows that when you get on a plane, you ought to set down. But I mean, it's not setting down that gets you to Jacksonville, Florida. It's getting on the plane in the first place. And the same thing is true when it comes to salvation. You believe in Jesus Christ, and then you get baptized. But getting baptized is not what gets you to heaven. It's believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you have any sense at all, you ought to know that you get baptized after you get saved. But again, that's not what does it. Looking unto Jesus is what does it. Take your eyes off baptism. And then number three, I hurry to finish. Faith is not experiencing a feeling. Faith is relying on a fact. I talk to people all the time. They say, "Preacher, I don't think I'm saved." I say, "Why not?" And they say, "Well, I don't think I felt the right way. I don't think I feel the right way. When I got married, we had a small ceremony in church down in Arkansas, and then we went into the fellowship hall, and all we had was cake and punch. And my brother was one of my best men, and we were going back to the fellowship hall, and he says, "Hey, how's it feel to be married?" And I told him, "I feel the same way I did an hour ago." I've known people that have cried. Not when they got married, but when they got saved. I gotta keep this up. I gotta make sure you're with me. I've known people that have cried when they got saved. I've known people that had the biggest smile that I've ever seen on their face when they got saved. I've known people that have laughed when they've got saved. I've known people that have shouted when they got saved. But you know what? Doesn't matter if you cry. Doesn't matter if you shout. Doesn't matter if you smile. Doesn't matter if you laugh. Doesn't matter how you feel. There's not one verse in the Bible that tells you got to feel a certain way to get saved. But there's 153 of them that says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Here's the fact. Jesus went to Calvary. And when he went to Calvary, he took every one of our sins, and he died and paid the price for every one of our sins. Now, what you do with that fact doesn't make any difference. It's still a fact. He was God's Son. He went to the cross. He paid the price for every one of our sins. And if I were here today, I am here today, but if I were here today, But if I were here today and I wasn't saved, you know what I'd do? I'd act on that fact. I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I put my faith in Him. Just like a dad that says to a son, "Hey, don't worry about a payment. I'll take care of it." That's what Jesus did for us. I read a sermon this week, and in the sermon the preacher said this: 2 + 2 = 4. That's mathematics. 2 parts of hydrogen and 1 part oxygen makes water. That's chemistry. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's revelation. And somebody asked the preacher, How do you know that? And he said, here's how I know it. And by the way, he says, the burden of proof is on you. You take two things and you take two things and you put them together and you have four. You take two parts of hydrogen and one part of oxygen and you put them together and you have water. And he said this, you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Would you do that this morning? If you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, would you do it this morning? Would you simply say, hey, I'm going to depend on Him. I'm going to look unto Him. I'm not going to depend on anything that I can do. I'm not going to depend on the church or on baptism or the fact that mom and dad were Christians or grandpa and grandma were Christians. That's good, and all those things are good. But it doesn't make one difference when it comes to salvation. The thing that makes the difference is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the simple message of salvation. Thank you.